This is Vatican Radio. I'm Chris Altieri. Pope Francis on Tuesday evening signed a decree canonizing Blessed Peter Faber, the first Jesuit to be ordained a priest and a founding member of the Society of Jesus, who was a key instrument in the efforts to bring Germans back to the fullness of the faith following the Lutheran Reformation. Although he was a theologian of great repute, Blessed Peter Faber did not relish theoretical disputation, preferring instead to emphasize reform of the interior life and discipline of the affections. The man now venerated as Saint Peter Faber was a careful listener and a sensitive confessor who was also a master conductor of the signature spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius. The head of Vatican Radio's German language section, Jesuit Father Bernd Hagenkord, told us this is the characteristic of St. Peter Faber that most resonates with him.
He was actually the first Jesuit father because he was ordained before the others, so he's actually the first Jesuit father ever existed.
Who was he? Tell us a little bit about his life. How does he come to know Ignatius?
Was one of the third or fourth group Ignatius tried to form. Ignatius failed a couple of times founding a group and found people in Paris. There was a small group of students. Francis Xavier was one of them. Peter Faber was another one, living in one room and studying together theology. And 2 years after they started, Ignatius came and they helped him along. He was 16, 20 years older than they were, so they helped him along in studies, and he helped them along spiritually, and they formed a group. And from this group grew, later on, the Society of Jesus. So this was the first five or six people around then, at that time, the first group of Jesuits.
You've described a fascinating dynamic there with folks like Faber helping Ignatius with his studies and Ignatius helping them spiritually, but was it love at first sight, if you will, or did their dynamic take a while to work through? Because I can imagine, from what I know about Faber, that the characters might have rubbed each other a little bit at the beginning.
Very different characters, all of them. Xavier, outgoing, missionary later on, extrovert. Ignatius, older, much... He wants to do things, he wants to achieve things, he wants to mission things. And Faber is more intellectual, but the spiritual, the pastoral. He's the quiet companion, that's what biography on him is called. So he's not very well known outside the Society of Jesus. That's why he hasn't been canonized so far. He's the guy who knows, he knew the exercises best. That's what Ignatius said. If of all the people I know in the Society of Jesus, the Father Faber is the one who knows and gives the retreats best. So that's his portfolio. That's his specialty. He is the spiritual one, the pastoral one, the one for the confession, for the spiritual conversation.
In fact, you mentioned not known very well outside the society, except perhaps among those who have studied with Jesuits. I don't know of anyone who has not either lived in or studied in a Faber Hall at one of the many Jesuit universities. Can you talk a little bit then about his importance for Jesuits, for the society?
Well, yes. First of all, it's of course the exercises. He had written extensively about his own experience and kind of summarized that. So there's a little manual taken from his own life on how to apply the discernment of spirits and all these key phrases in Ignatian spirituality. But then there's also his activity. He was the first Jesuit also in Germany at a time when the fractions, the religious fractions, were getting stronger, and he tried to bring reconciliation to that. So the phrase, actually the well-known phrase, there's more than unites us than divides us, is not John 23rd, neither John F. Kennedy. It's actually Peter Faber. So it's 1640. He tried to bring together ecumenism coming early, so to speak. He tried to bring back together the fractions, not with very much success, but his way of treating these conflicts was very suave and very, very, how should I put it, archetypical for the way we should deal with things. So he's a very respected figure in that regard.
And in some of his letters back, his correspondence back to the house in Rome, He had some hard things to say about some folks who had a more, perhaps, shall we say, heavy-handed approach to the reconversion of Germany that wasn't born out of... There's a tone of sadness, of regret, that was the tack that they had taken, also because it was ineffectual, ultimately.
Yes, of course, and he saw that, that it would be ineffectual to treat Germany or Germans or the conflict or whatever in that way. And not only Germany, it's also Spain as well, where he went. So conflicts need people who listen. This is actually where Pope Francis likes to quote Peter Faber in Evangelii Gaudium, for example, or in the interview with the Jesuit magazines. He quotes and names Peter Faber as the one who shows us what listening actually means, not only taking in information, but trying to get into contact with someone and thereby establishing a relationship. This is what Peter Faber did and tried to do, and what he's complaining others didn't do. And this is what Pope Francis likes him for.
Was it to Faber, actually, that St. Ignatius wrote the famous line, sometimes you have to go in through their door to get them out yours?
That's true, yes. So there's a lot of history, Jesuit history. He was sent to the Council of Trent. He died before that actually came about, but he was one of the cornerstones of the early Society of Jesus.
If you look at the pontificate of Francis, do you get the impression that he himself has taken that Ignatian maxim to heart?
I think I see a lot of Peter Faber in Francis, the pastoral line, the trying to listen to normal people, not only getting in conversation with the important ones in the world, important ones, the pastoral. Yes, I said it before, the contact with the people, to actually wanting to get to know people, liking people. All these things I see in Faber as well as in Francis. So there's a kind of familiarity between them.
Was Faber, because sometimes people get the impression of someone who is a very, a careful listener, slow to anger, very, let's say, to use that wonderful catch-all word that means everything and nothing, pastoral in his approach. Was he afraid of the hard truths?
I don't think so. I don't think so. He was a theologian, but he thought that debates on the foundations on theology don't lead anywhere when it comes to conflict. So it's the contact between people who changes, that changes things. It's the contact, it's the listening, it's that makes reform. And he talks a lot about reform, and the early Jesuits were known as the Reformed Fathers before they had a proper name. So that's what he's talking about, reform. And it has to start inside you. Without the inside reform, the outside reform is completely without perspective. So that what he tried to do. The hard truths are there. You have to talk about them. And he was convinced, of course, he was a good Catholic theologian. But to get there, it's all about the way to get there. So he wasn't afraid of the truth, but he insisted on the proper way. And the way is reform from the inside, the retreats, the pastoral.
You mentioned earlier your personal affection and esteem for Father Faber. What's he meant to you in your life as a Jesuit?
He wrote a journal, a spiritual journal. And reading this, you can actually follow a way someone took. It wasn't all plain sailing for him spiritually. He has a lot of he had a lot of problems, and he recognizes them. He's very honest with himself, and reading these things makes it easier for oneself, because you also find in your own life a lot of obstacles. And reading this great man also having them and having to overcome them and struggling with them even late in life, that's very helpful for oneself. You can follow this line and say, well, if this character had problems with him, it's not, my problems might not be that bad, actually. So it gives great comfort following his struggle and also his wisdom and spiritual wisdom. So for me personally, and I know for a lot of others, he's very important.
That sounds like something that not only Jesuits, but just about anybody could take away from his life. Obviously, it's going to be particularly important for the Jesuit spirituality, for formation, for the spiritual discipline that is characteristic of the society. But if you had to indicate maybe a couple of things as we wrap this up, that the average layman could take away from the life and example of Peter Faber, what would it be?
I would say the importance of retreat. Step out of your life for a couple of days. It's not easy most of the time to just find the time, but it's also possible in a normal day if you've organized well. So step away, try to redefine your relationship with God, get back into contact with God. And you can do that with help. There's help. You don't have to invent it anew. So it's great help getting someone into that relationship, helping you, a spiritual director, a confessor, something, someone whom you trust. So this kind of inner relationship you have with God that affects every other relationship in your life needs renewal. And there are people around who can help you. This is, I think, something this great saint, for me, he's the patron saint of the exercises, of the retreat. So that's something you can take away from him.